All the summer, we're in conversation with Wisconsin executives and their companies that have taken root here. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Founded over a century ago as Snap-on Wrench Company in Milwaukee, Kenosha headquartered Snap-on is our next stop. It's bread and butter tools group catering to vehicle repair technicians. But there's a lot more to this company that specializes in manufacturing and marketing of tools and diagnostic equipment for sectors like transportation and ag, aviation, medical. Join in on all things Snap-on, manufacturing, corporate culture, and more. 800-642-1234. Nick Pinchuk has been chairman and CEO of Snap-on since 2007 and chairman of the board since 2009. Nick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. How's it going, Kate?
Going well. But when I think of Snap-on, I immediately think of tools. And you've really diversified your company a lot over the decades. You're in a lot of different sectors. I just ticked off some. But can you give us some examples of things we might not know you make?
Well, look, I think I can. I mean, fundamentally, it's not that we've transformed our company. We have followed the changes in the we're rooted in repair in all kinds of repair, and we follow the changes in those industries. You know, one of the things that if you just look at cars, you know, vehicles, for example, we're much more fly-by-wire today than we were 5 years ago, and or even 20 years ago. So the change has been tremendous, and some of our tools are still very important. You know, we sell more hand tools today than we ever did before, even though the cars are more fly-by-wire. But we also have laptops for cars, some of which that wield databases that are 270 billion records associated with car repair. And so it puts that data in the hands of the technician to engage the changes in the vehicles. Because you know, a technician today isn't dark, dumb, and dirty. They're acting like electrical engineers practically. That's an example. And then the other thing is, one other thing I'd add is, we started in auto repair, but what we learned was, we weren't just a company that did auto repair. We thought we made wrenches for vehicles, but actually, we're a company that enables critical tasks. So if professionals are working in any critical tasks, that's where the penalty for failure is high and the need for repeatability and reliability is paramount. A Snap-on tool is good for it. And that's our natural place. So it rolls us out of the garage into places like aerospace and aviation and ag and a whole bunch of other things.
And we're going to talk about data and technology in a moment, but who are Snap-on's biggest customers?
We have millions. You see, one of the things about Snap-on, one of the things you got to know about Snap-on is we have a vivid brand. It's the outward sign of the pride and dignity that working men and women take in their profession. People wear our jackets at county fairs, our hats. They shape their wedding cakes in the shape of a Snap-on. I ain't kidding either. You know, and they put Snap-on wrenches in the hands of their newborns because they believe whatever touches the newborns hands first will influence their life forever, for better or worse. So it's a tremendous brand. You know, that's one of the things. The other thing we do is, starting way back in the beginning when our founder said, go into the garages and sell directly to the mechanics. Mm-hmm. We sell directly to the mechanics. So we have millions of customers. So unlike most manufacturing companies, if you think of it, we are heavily vertically integrated, and we have millions of customers, hundreds of thousands of millions of customers in technicians across the country, where we put a tool into the actual hand of the user, unlike most manufacturers. And we sell to 200,000 to 300,000 shops just in the United States, just in that one sector alone.
And let me ask you this, because you don't really rely then on the brick and mortar store model at all, in that, you know, you have these franchise dealers and you use these mobile vans. Why have you gone that route?
Because the whole thing about our business, our principal value creating mechanism, is we're in repair, and cars and planes and everything keeps changing. So what we do is, we are in workplaces for more hours, for more weeks, for more days than any other manufacturer. So we observe the work and we realize what tools might make it easier. This is what drives our business. We are a company that, if you think about it, cars, once we sell wrenches to mechanics, don't they have the wrenches and they can use them forever? That's wrong, because the cars keep changing physically. geometrically, and they need different wrenches, just in wrenches, but it's also around things that would require a technician to deal with the electronics. So we see the difficulties they have, and then we come out with tools that will enable them. This is true across the number of different sectors. So our principal value creating mechanism is enabled by the physical contact and the physical observation in the work. Hmm. We say Snap-on people are the people of work, and so we are.
Well, Nick, I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk with Nick Pinchuk, who is the chairman and CEO of Snap-on, Kenosha-based company, as part of our conversations with CEOs and C-suite executives in Wisconsin, companies rooted here. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Your latest annual report says Snap-on has 9 manufacturing facilities here in the U.S., 1 facility in Milwaukee, 19 locations outside our country. Is manufacturing in the U.S. becoming more difficult?
No, I don't think so. I think manufacturing in the U.S. could become easier. And there's a couple of reasons for this. One of the things is we love manufacturing in the U.S. Our vans, 80% of what we sell off the van is made here in America. And a hand tool is 50% labor. Check the labor on a TV sometime. Okay, it's much lower. So the thing is, we're able to do that. So we thrive on United States manufacturing. One of the things we love about Wisconsin is, you know, one of the underrated things about manufacturer, any business, is the power of place. Mm-hmm. These people, when they move to China and they don't have a good experience, it's mostly because they put the factory in the wrong place. Well, we've put our factories in the best places. We're here in Kenosha, and the people in Kenosha have been the wellspring of our energy and capability for more than 90 years, because we moved here 10 years after we got founded. So that's an important thing. I think American manufacturing is great. The difficulty is this. Sometimes, as you had in my tape, sometimes you believe, or you believe that Americans no longer believe in manufacturing. You know, I said 90% of the people think that manufacturing is important, but only 30% say they'd like to have their children become manufacturers. They believe if you go into manufacturing, you settle for the consolation prize of our society. But in reality, think about how important it is. Historians have said that America is ascendant because of the fact that we've had makers and fixers stretched from sea to shining sea across this country. And we have had proximate proof of that, because when the COVID hit and fear was in the streets and people were in their houses, we had people who met that fear with vigilance and stayed at their post to make sure that our society didn't disintegrate while we engaged and defeated the COVID. And among the first line of those were manufacturers.
Let me jump here and look a little more closely at the economics. You know, transportation costs for offshore manufacturing are going up. Your labor costs, where companies used to save, you know, by orders of magnitude on labor, that too is rising. What pressures or challenges do you feel with your plants operating in other countries?
You know, to tell you the truth, you know, our view of this is sort of like, go back to the inimitable Roseanne Dana from Saturday Night Live. It's always something. So managing over those kinds of supply chain problems and inflation is the task of management. So yes, we see those changes, but we're not disrupted by it. I do think, though, coming out of the COVID, I would be disappointed if Americans and the American government didn't see that shortening the supply chains wasn't a great problem. It's not so much the cost or the variation of the cost. It's the fact that cars can't be made because there aren't chips. So it's those who have shorter supply chains. Snap-on does, by the way, have shorter supply chains because we make in the countries where we manufacture. So that would be, I think, of rising importance. And I think that's what's going to follow out of that. This, people are going to move toward America in this kind of thing. Because supply chains, you know, coming out of the last great inflation, they moved overseas, made the supply chains efficient and said, oh, that's great, isn't it? Well, now you can see that things like the COVID can create microviscosities from place to place, and it disrupts industry. So people, are going to move to try to insulate against that. And that means coming to America. I think America has a lot of opportunity for that. One of the things we do need, though, is to upskill the American workforce. Because right now there are 900,000 manufacturing jobs open. And there are two reasons for that. We don't have the skills, and two, manufacturing and other technical careers have a PR problem. People view them as what other people's kids do.
So if you had a larger labor pool, is what you're saying, is that that would help you to think more favorably for you to perhaps reshore or bring that manufacturing back more to the U.S.?
Actually, I'm not talking about Snap-on because we never left. You see, the whole thing is we to the extent we have factories outside the United States, they are aimed at those markets, therefore short supply chains. So we never moved anything overseas because we had this view from the beginning. We wanted to make in the markets where we sold. But there's a whole industry associated with manufacturing that I think would look at it differently.
Hmm.
This is the kind of thing.
Snap-on CEO Nick Pinchuk with us leads the Kenosha-based global manufacturer of tools, of equipment, diagnostic tools. Join in on the industry of tools, corporate citizenship, manufacturing, as we've been talking about, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show, back in a minute with Nick Pinchuk here in the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our Wisconsin C-suite conversations today with Kenosha-headquartered Snap-on. In 2021, bringing in $4.25 billion in sales revenue, highest amount in company history. That's highlighted in their annual report. Join in 800-642-1234. CEO Nick Pinchuk with us for about nine more minutes. Nick, you mentioned earlier about the software division that creates the diagnostic programs for vehicles and databases with 220 billion records. How much of a challenge is it for your company to keep these records secure?
Well, of course, these days it's getting a greater challenge, but it's part of our task. I mean, I think it's one of the great focuses because the database is, those 270 billion data points are actually proprietary to us and no one else has them. So when you realize that, and no one else has the possibility to create them. And so when you realize that's such an advantage, you have to spend a lot of time doing that. And we spend a considerable time trying to protect ourselves in that situation. You know, of course, this is a difficult time for this because the Russians and everybody are trying to penetrate. But so far we've been okay.
Along those lines, you had announced your company had a ransomware data breach earlier this year, exposing associate data, franchise data, personal, employee data like social security numbers. And the news report said the Russian hacking group Conti took responsibility. How did you respond to this attack?
Someone called me 8:00 at night. I was up all night. You know, we basically rode to the sound of guns. We saw that they were there. And so we started to configure a solution to make sure operations went forward. So we were talking to our Australian business in the middle of the night, seeing how that solution would work. And then it went to the UK business and we saw how that worked. And by the time it got to the United States, we were up and going. Now, there were some things that weren't going, of course, but generally we didn't miss too much of a beat in terms of operations. We did lose some data, unfortunately. But in terms of personal data, but in fact, the operations moved reasonably well. So the quarter kind of shook it off. If you looked at last quarter, it was a record quarter in sales and profits for us, even though we had this breach.
With that breach, though, what did you do for the people or the employees whose data was exposed?
Well, how this happens is you got to figure out what you lose. And when we found that out, we notified them and then we provided them, data monitoring services at the company's cost for a relatively long period of time and talk them through how they could protect themselves against any problem. And so far, it seems to be going okay.
Talking with Nick Pinchuk, Chairman and CEO of Snap-on, headquartered in Kenosha. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Nick, let's talk workforce. You have about 12,800 employees. The pandemic, as you've seen, has been called the Great Resignation, the Great Reshuffle. How is it impacting Snap-on and your labor force?
No impact.
Why is that?
because we kept working. You see, the thing is, when your factories are working, if you think about it, during the pandemic, how many people ate? How many people ordered from Amazon? Well, how many people used ambulances or fire trucks? Well, all that occurred because of, you received deliveries because of truck drivers who couldn't work from home, and factory work, warehouse workers who couldn't work from home, and mechanics who couldn't work from home, and factory workers who couldn't work from home. So 2/3 of the population was working. Here, we sent some of the people home, but most of them, including myself, stayed here every day because we were part of the people of work who actually were at work. And so one of the good things about that is we didn't lay anybody off. When we went into the pandemic, we said to ourselves, look, our most important factor is our people. One of our most important. And one of the disadvantages, so we didn't lay anybody off, because one of the disadvantages of saying your people are important is on occasion, in difficult times, you have to act like it.
So are you saying, sounds like you really believe in having your employees at the office or at their location.
They are at the office.
At the office, yes. So what impact do you think work from home has had on retention and recruitment and retention of employees?
It hasn't been a problem for us. You know, there are small pockets of this from time to time. You see, the whole thing about it is that I think, wouldn't you want to work for Snap-on? You see, it's a company that people make wedding cakes in the shape of your trucks. It's a company that clearly makes a difference. You know, Emerson said, you know, when a successful life is to be confident that even one person lived better because of what you did. And our people believe that. Well, and so working for Snap-on, the people here have been here for middle decades, you know, 15 years. So when you walk in the door, chances are you're gonna be here 30 years. So I think one of the things is that the people all came back, and generally it's been working okay for us. And I think part of it is we just didn't stop.
What is Snap-on doing to encourage diversity and inclusion at the company?
Well, look, I think the thing is this is a kind of thing that we're doing just about, you know, many of the things that you've probably heard before from other CEOs. Our particular challenge is our customer base is not particularly diverse. So some of the diverse population in the United States are underrepresented in that customer base. So I think one of the most important things we are doing is trying to focus the upskilling, the technical education on some of these populations. Certainly here in Wisconsin, we're doing that with a number of different schools like Gateway and others. And then around the country, working with historically Black universities and colleges, and also partnering with a bunch of different community colleges who are focusing those particular populations. You know, Snap-on has I talked about guiding curriculum. Snap-on has a founding member of National Coalition of Certification Centers. So we have, this is a program by which we guide students in technical careers to learn the right things that they can use in the workplace. So their skills are right up to snuff in terms, right up to date in terms of the common challenges. And so we have certified, 240,000 students to date, 33,000 already this year, and 65,000 last year. So that's a program that is embracing the diverse populations and moving them more into our customer base, and therefore giving us an opportunity to bring them into Snap-on.
We only have about a minute left here. William from Frederick sent us an email and said that they were a service tech for 9 years, always relied on Snap-on tools, and they say Snap-on's business sales model works really well. In that framework, I'm wondering, Snap-on has kept its headquarters in Wisconsin, you know, for more than a century. What could our state do to nurture businesses here? What could help the business culture?
I've lived all over the world. I lived in Asia for 11 years myself. And, you know, I've gone from country to country to country and jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And the simple point is the government has to act like they believe business is good for the population, for the people. And they have to be receptive and work with business to try to help them go forward and to nurture them. It's simple as that, I think. It's attitudinal more than any particular item. And so the more business seems, the more the government seems receptive, the better business likes it in that area. And then secondly, we already have it here in Wisconsin, is we have a huge number of schools who turn out great people. And then Wisconsin, I'll tell you, power of place, great culture, working men and women who focus on a job and really revel in making a difference in their lives. This is why we stayed here. And we built a new building. We just built a new building in our parking lot, 100,000 square foot building, probably maybe one of the only ones built in Kenosha in a long time. So we're about to expand right here on the Kenosha campus.
Nick, good to talk with you. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. My pleasure.
Nick Pinchuk, CEO of Snap-on since 2007, chairman of the board since 2009. All the summer, we're rolling out this series of conversations with leaders from Wisconsin's largest employers. You can find these conversations at WPR.org/mornings. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Find me under my name, Kate Archer Kent. News is next here on the Ideas Network.